This is a Travel Channel podcast. Check out Discovery Network's complete podcast lineup at discoverychannelradio.com.
Whether it's a Broadway show, a touring troupe, or community theater, for actors around the world, the theater is a sacred place. Outsiders might say they are merely buildings, but for an actor, they are places of great history and legend, of art and entertainment, of energy and excitement, and ghosts.
It's very, very common that theaters in general, at least older theaters, have ghosts in them.
I'm really not afraid of haunted theaters because back in Jonesboro, Arkansas, where I live, I've been doing theater for a long time, and our local theater is supposed to be haunted, and we've had a lot of freaky incidents there.
A lot of theaters that I've worked at claim to be haunted, and then, of course, there's even a show about such a thing, Phantom of the Opera.
But why are theaters so notoriously haunted?
You just can't kill a performer. No matter where they're at, here on Earth or in some other world, I think they're still belting out a song and tapping a tune.
It seems in theaters across the globe, the old adage stands true. The show must go on, and in some cases, forever. Memphis, Tennessee is known as the home of Graceland and the pork barbecue capital of the world. And on the city's legendary Beale Street, you find out why it's also the home of the blues and the birthplace of rock and roll.
It's got the blues. It's got any kind of music you want.
We have some of the best, finest soul food in the world.
It's a place where people like to have parties, enjoy life, have fun. It's a good place to go on vacation.
And in the heart of it all lies the historic Orpheum Theater.
I love coming to the Orpheum. We're very fortunate in Memphis to come to such a beautiful theater.
The Orpheum Theater is one of the grandest live theaters in the country. It's extremely old. We've had every performer you can think of, from heavy metal artists to rap to opera.
From Sarah Bernhardt to Jerry Seinfeld and Harry Houdini to Harry Connick Jr., countless legends have graced the Orpheum stage. But it seems the most popular legend of the Orpheum isn't a performer at all, but a spirit that has been hanging around for more than 75 years.
They always described the same little girl.
Sometimes when I give tours, they ask me not to talk about her, because it does scare children.
It made the hair on the back of our neck stand up, too.
The Orpheum Theater was originally built in 1890 as the Grand Opera House, then rebuilt in 1928 as the theater we know today.
When you walk through the door, it's breathtaking. Everything is gilded in gold, red carpet laid everywhere.
Those two huge chandeliers, those weigh 2,000 pounds each.
It's so beautiful. It's such a great place to come have a good time and learn a lot about the arts and about Memphis, too, because it's such a historical building.
Today's Orpheum is a venue where locals and visitors alike can enjoy various performances, from bands to ballet to Broadway shows.
We're going to see Rent tonight, and we heard it was a fantastic show.
Tonight I'm going to go see Rent, and I've heard it's a great show.
What eager theatergoers might not know is that the Orpheum is rampant with ghostly activity. A parapsychologist claims to have found seven different specters roaming the Orpheum.
My first experience with a haunting in this theater happened up in the balcony, of all places. And it was the first time I'd felt like I'd just fallen into a tub full of raw liver. That's what a ghost feels like.
Though there are occasional tales of other ghosts, all seem to agree on the most famous ghost of the Orpheum.
The main ghost would be the little girl, Mary.
Legend has it that Mary was a young girl in 1920s Memphis who loved the theater. Mary would watch a show at the Orpheum every chance she got.
And she would come to the theater and she would sit in her little seat. She loved the theater.
One Saturday afternoon, after watching a performance, Mary stepped out of the theater and saw the Balloon Man. She felt generous and decided to get a little gift for her baby brother. She bought the balloon, but as she was crossing the street,
She was hit by the trolley.
I'm sure she died on the spot.
Young Mary's life came to an end, and rumor has it that her spirit wandered back into the theater that she loved so dearly and made it her permanent home for the afterlife. The first official and detailed account of Mary the Ghost was reported in the 1970s, and the sightings continue to this day.
One night when I was playing simple music, children's music, a friend of mine looked up and said, "Who's that?" She described the little girl with the white dress. Lots of people that I trusted described her the same way every single time, in different places, in the lobby, various places on the mezzanine. You never knew, but they always described the same little girl. Occasionally, I would be here playing the organ and it would get cool and then warm again, like somebody had come up to the organ console and then left again.
Numerous stage performers, crew, theater patrons, and staff have reported that Mary always appears in her white dress and that she has her favorite spot.
C5, the little booth where Mary haunts.
You're going to find if you go upstairs, it's a little bit cool in that area where that box is.
Mary seems to never tire of her childish activities.
People see her twirling. She has been known to swing on the big chandeliers.
Does Mary continue to play, unaware that she's passed on? Whatever the case, it seems that Mary is comfortable showing off from beyond.
She likes children's music, and, well, let me try, and we'll just see. Maybe she'll turn up. She's here.
It's common practice for performers to stand alone inside an empty theater before a show to calm their nerves. But performers at Tulsa, Oklahoma's Brady Theater know better. The strange stillness of their stage has been known to bring stage fright to a whole new level.
Being alone at the Brady with all the lights out is like being in a phone booth at night. They can see you, but you can't see them.
Ghosts are par for the course in a city as haunted as Tulsa, Oklahoma. And their most famed spirit is that of Italian opera tenor Enrico Caruso.
Enrico Caruso was an Italian opera singer who was probably the most famous opera singer in his time.
It was the early 1900s. And the Brady Theater was a stop on Caruso's summer tour.
I know women just flew at him and threw themselves at him, and they loved him. And he was so romantic and mysterious, and he sang in Italian.
Caruso's voice melted hearts around the world, but his interest in the city of Tulsa endeared him even more to the public for which he was to perform.
He informed the promoters here that he wanted to go view a local oil well.
They went to Sepulpa, which is a little town near here. It was a cold day, and their cars broke down on the way back.
He ended up having to walk the last half mile back to the theater on foot. The story goes he caught a cold in the process.
But the dedicated singer refused to disappoint his fans and took to the Brady stage that night. Caruso gave the greatest performance of his life, unaware that it would be one of his last.
He was already ill with another illness, and this apparently made it worse. He went back to his home in Italy, where he died from his illness.
But many in Tulsa's Brady Theater believe he's come back from the grave.
I think he's good and mad, and so now he comes back.
Many of the people who work here report seeing doors closing, things that they can't really explain.
Some of the experiences the employees and patrons alike have had in the Brady Theater is the feeling of being watched, constantly feeling like somebody's behind you.
But this lack of privacy hasn't stopped the Brady from taking its place among Tulsa's most beloved landmarks.
It's an historic building in Tulsa that has served the theater needs of this community for the last 85 years. When you come to the Brady Theater, you're going to feel the history of the building when you walk in.
You can still see the charm that she had back in the 20s is still prevalent today.
Named after the city's founder, the Brady quickly became the social hub of Tulsa.
It was a burgeoning oil town at that time, and there was quite a bit of money floating around, and they brought in some of the biggest performers of the day.
From the Ziegfeld Follies of the 20s to Buddy Holly in the 50s and popular performers of today, the Brady Theater has brought entertainment to the tourists and locals of Tulsa for years. But it's a century-old performance that has Brady theatergoers speechless.
That doorway there is where most of the sightings of Caruso take place. Most people believe, or they feel like they have seen him come across, walk across that the other side of the fly floor, the stage left side, and pause for a moment, and then walk back.
We've been in the Brady Theater several times, and sometimes it just feels, no pun intended, dead. It feels very, very still and quiet. Other times, you can just feel the energy.
And it seems there's more than one ghost living inside the Brady.
Now, this is the boiler room, and back in the 20s, they had a really significant race riot.
In 1921, following controversial arrests, the largest race riot in American history broke out. Many of the rioters were arrested and interned in the basement of the Brady Theater.
And so there was, you know, some abuse and even as far as some murders. Down here on the floors, you can see a big square. And rumor has it also that they buried some people in there.
The noises that you hear at the Brady Theater are bizarre and unexplainable. You'll hear these enormously loud crashes. You'll hear scraping. You'll hear doors slamming. And there's never any indication that anyone else is in the building with us.
Are these murdered souls still being tortured, or are they reminding us of the sins of the past?
The boiler room downstairs is a very creepy place. There isn't anyone I've ever been with who's gone down there with me who hasn't been affected physically by that room.
As our cameras rolled, members of PIT, the paranormal investigation team of Tulsa, set up for a night of ghost hunting inside the Brady.
If you see anything that you cannot explain, shadows on the walls, orbs, anything of that nature, please call out so we can all get in that area and check it for temperature and EMF.
Inside the basement, the crew searches for signs of the paranormal.
And I feel a breeze. I smell gas, but that's just because of the heater here.
Tina's got a breeze. Somebody ought to be in with the picture.
All right. It's a being 69.4.
But moments later, an unexpected orb appears on one of the video cameras.
Terry, I just saw something. My camera just went off. Did you see that?
Yes, and I saw something fly across the screen on the viewfinder on the camera right before your camera shut off.
Guys, something turned off my camera.
Outstanding.
Awesome.
Hey.
Is it possible that the PIT team made contact with one of the Brady's ghosts?
It did not get flipped off.
There it is.
Roll that out. Look at that.
We can roll.
Wow. And there goes the camera.
Wow. This has been a really exciting night. Earlier upstairs, I felt some cold breeze go by me. We didn't have our temperature meter with us at that time, unfortunately, so I couldn't measure that. But just now when we were down here in the basement, Jennifer was behind me with the video camera, caught a light or orb or something floating across going down to my camera, and as that happened, my camera shut off on its own.
Perhaps the ghosts of those murdered here long ago were reaching out to the living. Or maybe Enrico Caruso was trying to make his mark on the Brady.
As the owner, I welcome any visits from Enrico Caruso. I think he will definitely enhance the viability of the Brady Theater.
Just because someone's dead doesn't mean they don't still have their talent. Perhaps he comes back to stand on stage when nobody's here, when everyone's gone home and all the lights are out and it's really quiet. Maybe he sings.
When most people think of theaters, they think of big cities and Broadway. But hidden on the Gulf Coast of Florida, on Sanibel Island, an abandoned old schoolhouse became an unlikely spot for the arts. Today, it's the Old Schoolhouse Theater, the center of Sanibel's art community, and some say, home to its ghosts. But most first-timers to Sanibel Island don't just come to see a show at the legendary Old Schoolhouse. They come for the miles of perfect beaches, quaint shops and eateries, and local island flavor, all of which are never more than a bike ride away.
We love the beach. We love the bike ride. Bike riding actually is our primary reason for coming here because the bike trails are absolutely wonderful.
This is bike rider's heaven.
Yes. I think Sanibel has everything. They have great restaurants, beautiful beaches. People are extremely friendly.
But just a short bike ride from the beaches and restaurants sits one of the island's historic gems, the Old Schoolhouse Theater.
Okay, to show begins at 8, please be here by 7:45.
For the price of admission, visitors can enjoy an evening of entertainment and fun. The spirit of Broadway is alive and well in Sanibel. But locals say there are other spirits living at the Old Schoolhouse Theater. Spirits that refuse to acknowledge the final curtain has fallen.
There's always that feeling that, okay, it feels like someone's looking at me. It feels like someone's around, but there's no one else left in the building.
I've often had that happen where things miraculously go back to where they're supposed to be and nobody's done it.
I was just uncomfortable. There had gotten really chilly all of a sudden, and you could almost like feel a presence there.
The one-room schoolhouse closed down as a school as the island grew. In 1964, it was reopened as the vision of Ruth Hunter, a Broadway star best known for her leading role in Tobacco Road. She bought the building and, with the help of her husband, Philip, turned it into a community theater. For 20 years, they put on threadbare performances for locals and tourists alike, often with Ruth in the lead role and Philip working the ticket booth. The theater was a community affair, drawing residents even on the rainiest of days.
Everyone would show up, and if the rain got too bad and started coming through, Ruth Hunter would quietly stop the performance, go off to the stage, pick up a bucket, pass it down to the row. Someone would move their seat, put the bucket on the seat, and they'd continue on with the production.
The Hunters loved their little theater, so much so, it is rumored they've returned after their deaths.
Actresses and actors have a bad habit of dropping their costumes and not rehanging them. I will leave a note telling actors to hang them, but it's very interesting that they will be hung up for them. And I will be left with someone saying to me, I got your note that my costume was on the floor, but it's hung up now.
Is the ghost of Ruth Hunter keeping her watchful eye on the Old Schoolhouse Theater?
That would be probably something that would irk her a little bit because it's very unprofessional behavior and she wouldn't like it.
But each night, locals and tourists fill this house to capacity, and few realize it's already crowded with ghosts. It seems Ruth's isn't the only spirit which chooses to spend eternity at the Old Schoolhouse Theater.
We have had mediums in here, and they have encountered a number of spirits. Of course, there are the school children, which, of course, kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Long before Ruth came to Sanibel and tourists began flocking to the theater, the building was a one-room schoolhouse built in 1886.
The theater is really considered an island treasure. I mean, we still have people that have gone to school here, so they have a special interest, of course, and it's like coming back to school for them.
The original schoolhouse was a one-room building. We had one teacher. We had a bell tower on top of it, you know, he rang the bell to start the class and rang the bell for recess.
The original bell no longer rests atop the Old Schoolhouse Theater, but some say its tones are heard, summoning the ghostly spirits of former students. Late at night, employees of the Old Schoolhouse Theater have reported the discomforting sound of children's laughter and the patter of little footsteps running through the aisles. Are the spirits of the school children still waiting for the recess bell to ring?
I was in by myself painting the stage, and all of a sudden the room like cooled off, and I heard the ringing of a school bell, and I thought somebody was playing a joke on me. I went out and looked around, and then there was just nobody there.
Every time I close down, I try to do it in a big hurry, so I'm not the last one to leave, but it's frightening. I try to just run and do everything as fast as I can, not pay attention to any noises I hear, anything like that, and just get out of the building.
It's dark, and even with the lights on in the theater section, there's still dark shadows and dark corners, and it's just a creepy place.
Haunting, much like acting, has a certain nobility to it. If, as it is said in the theater, you think of every exit as an entrance somewhere else. Located in the heart of the nation's vast prairie land, Decatur, Illinois is truly an all-American town. If you're looking to rediscover a simpler way of life, a trip to Decatur will surely take you back. But like many small towns, Decatur has its secrets buried beneath the ground.
Decatur, downtown Decatur, was a huge Indian burial ground.
Businesses and homes were built right onto these two old cemeteries, and as construction started, bodies just kept being unearthed.
Decatur, Illinois, really is one big haunted house. The entire town has got ghost stories and strange things about it.
In such a mystical and enchanted town, it's not surprising that it has two of the most haunted theaters in the country.
When you combine it with the Avon and the Lincoln Theater, both in Decatur, they're two of the most haunted theaters that I've ever been involved with.
The Lincoln Theater was built in 1916 as a classic opera house, specializing in vaudeville acts and theater.
Such people as Al Jolson has been there. Bob Hope came there in 1926. Another famous person was the magician Harry Houdini.
And though the names of those stars live forever in the Lincoln Theater's legacy, it was a humble stagehand whose ghost is still making curtain calls.
Red was a stagehand at the Lincoln Theater back in the 1920s. He always envisioned himself being on stage as an actor, but he never did quite do that because he was always a very shy person.
On one particular night, Red was thrust onto center stage, but not in the way he had always dreamed of.
One evening during a performance, Red was up on the scaffolding and on the catwalks, and the unthinkable happened.
Employees say while climbing down the spiral staircase, Red lost his footing and plummeted to his death. While Red's gruesome death ended any chance of a career in the limelight, many say the spirit of a lonely stagehand still lurks in the shadows.
That is one of the eeriest places inside the theater is the spiral staircase.
One night, Troy Taylor was on top of the stairs with a friend.
And we were on top of the spiral staircase in the dark and heard someone coming up the stairs. Now, he was completely a skeptic on the whole idea of ghosts.
But they saw no one. And when they called out into the dark, no one replied.
And the footsteps just kept coming. I don't know if it was his fear that infected me or my nervousness infected him, but we didn't want to be on those stairs anymore.
Whether it was Red ascending the stairs or other spirits of the Lincoln Theater's past, no one knows for sure, but their memory will forever echo in the quiet shadows of the Lincoln Theater.
It's almost like even though the theater is completely empty, there's always somebody there. I think over the years there's been just as many people who've loved the Lincoln, and they simply just don't want to leave.
And just down the street from the Lincoln is the Avon Theater, also built in 1916. The Avon has been a fixture in Decatur for almost 90 years.
We like to come here quite often. He has some great movies.
For years, locals have come to the Avon to watch their favorite movies. But when the lights go out, a chilling air consumes the theater, and sleeping spirits awaken.
Really, the heyday of the Avon Theater probably came in the late 1920s up until some point probably in the 60s. It was at that point that it was underneath the control of the Constant family. Gus Constant was a fixture at the Avon Theater.
Gus Constant and his family bought the Avon Theater in 1926. For years, the Avon was the place to see a movie.
He was very passionate about the Avon Theater, and it's only natural that that passion would carry over into the other world.
Eventually, Gus passed away, and the theater fell into disrepair. But in 1999, the Avon was restored, bringing back grateful customers and apparently at least one grateful ghost.
A lot of people have had odd sightings in the auditorium of the theater, really seeing figures, apparitions, even during the movies. People just sitting in the audience who disappear.
Ghostly apparitions are commonplace in the Avon. But what Skip Houston encountered while in the storage room late one stormy night was anything but common.
At the same time, the storm is raging outside. It's thundering and there's flashes of lightning. And I heard kind of a sound out in the hallway.
Startled, Skip looked around but saw nothing. Yet the footsteps persisted.
It was about the fourth time that I looked over to that doorway that I saw a man standing there. He looked as solid as you or I, wearing a white shirt and black pants. I'm getting chills just remembering this. You know, I started to say something to him when he turned and started down the hallway.
Skip ran to follow the mysterious man down the dark hallway. But when he looked, no one was there.
And as if on cue, the lightning flashed and illuminated that hallway as if to say, Skip, there's nobody here. I stood there for a second and I thought, I just saw a ghost.
Later that night, Skip decided he'd take some friends back with him.
We go over, and I didn't want to go back in by myself, you see.
But before they even entered the theater, Skip's friend witnessed a frightening sight.
All of a sudden, he says, is anybody supposed to be in that theater? He says, I swear, those curtains up there just moved and somebody looked out at me.
So while Decatur, Illinois is a cozy, peaceful town, don't forget, there's an Indian burial ground beneath the prairie grass and quiet streets where the dead still stir. So if you're in the mood to catch a flick, visit the Avon or Lincoln Theaters, and between the bodies that lie beneath and the spirits that roam backstage, you'll be sure to see a real-life horror.
You've been listening to a Travel Channel feature presentation.